Just as we think we're actually beginning to make progress in the medical world and looking to potentially reduce mortality rates for diseases such as cancer and diabetes, it seems that for liver disease, the opposite is beginning to happen. A larger study of a recent survey of liver transplant patients have suggested that mortality rates for liver disease have been increasing in the past 4 years, and more than 500 patients are on the UK's active liver transplant list. To address this and possibly shed some positive news with respect to the pharmaceutical industry's impact on liver disease and liver transplants, we're delighted to welcome from King's College Hospital Dr. Varuna Aluvihare. Good morning, Dr. Varuna.
Good morning.
And Richard Hall, founder of the patient group Liver for Life. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Richard, if we can come to you first initially, one often says that, in a sense, the liver, it's such a wonderful sort of device for processing all sorts of poisonous toxins and so on. It's so vital that we need it so much. But talk to us a little bit about Liver for Life.
So the liver is amazing. It does lots and lots of different jobs. And the amazing thing about it is it very, very rarely complains about itself. Generally, if you think about a heart attack, it's kind of a warning. There's not really a warning when you're going to get liver disease. So we at Liver for Life are trying to raise awareness about people thinking about how much they drink. You know, lots of people like to get home and have a stress-relieving bottle of wine and then possibly pop onto a second one because the first one goes so quickly. And also, like most of us, we're all getting slightly larger.
If we can turn to Dr. Varuna for the moment. Varuna, from your own perspective, is it a case of we need to, clearly we need to watch our intake and consumption of alcohol in any case for that point of view, but clearly you're at the sharp end of this in terms of how do you actually provide hope for people who actually do need to have a new liver?
Yes, that's very true. I agree with Richard. I think a healthy liver really is associated with a healthy lifestyle. So it's not just the liver. If you do all the sensible things, in fact, you're healthy generally, but your liver's better looked after. When you come and see somebody like me, you're in big trouble because by then you have irreversible liver disease. It's, the lifestyle changes are not going to impact. And then we need to do other things. And transplantation is really one of the mainstays for saving people's lives when they're desperately sick.
I think we were prepared for the celebrity occurrences a couple of years ago of George Best, for instance. I think he was one of the sort of main cases who actually had a liver transplant. There are other sort of cases within that. I was quite astonished to find that liver disease is actually the fifth big killer in England and Wales. That's after heart, cancer, stroke and respiratory disease. So it's certainly not necessarily a minor illness from that point of view. It's something which, again, as the survey sort of pointed out, it kills more people than diabetes and road deaths combined.
It does, and in fact, off the list that you just gave me, it's the only one that's on the increase. Sadly, in the UK, we're in the Premier League of liver deaths, compared to the rest of Europe, which is not a great thing to say or admit to. And it doesn't get the level of press and coverage that the other diseases you just mentioned did as well. So, so it's important.
A study obviously conducted by the European Liver Transplant Registry. There is actually some positive news on the horizon, hopefully, thanks to the American Journal of Transplantation, who've actually looked at the impact of the drug Advagraf on the whole process. What exactly does that do in terms of helping the sort of the case of liver transplants?
Well, the tacrolimus is the mainstay of the anti-rejection pills that we treat patients with to try to keep them alive longer. And when I was a trainee, I thought we'd arrived at the final destination in terms of this particular drug. But in fact, this study shows in a very large cohort of European patients to which Britain contributed that if you're switched to a slightly different formulation of this drug, a once daily formulation, patients do better at 3 years. They survive better, such that if you were to treat 13 patients with this new formulation, you will save one additional life, which is a significant fact.
So it's clearly the message of how this can cope with tissue rejection, because clearly it's all very good, very well saying, well, we need to have a transplant, but sometimes, as we know, those transplants, unless they're kind of fitted out, the body has a tendency to, quite understandably, reject the foreign tissue.
Absolutely. I think we've actually focused far too much on the transplant and not on the patient. It's one of the things that is a problem for transplant doctors. We're obsessed by keeping the liver alive after a transplant, but in reality, we have to keep the whole patient alive, and it's very important to focus on all of the aspects of patient health.
In terms of Liver for Life and the sort of the sequence of that, Richard, presumably this is good news, I mean, obviously from that point of view, but we'd still probably obviously like to sort of look for the prevention rather than the cure system, I suspect.
Yeah, we certainly would, but we're really delighted that this study's out. Liver patients that have had a transplant, they have to live the rest of their lives taking pills, and, you know, anything that makes it easier for them, you know, remembering to take two pills is twice as hard as remembering to take one pill. So that's really important for us. And actually the lease of life that people get after a transplant, they have been very, very poorly. And very soon after, they see that all of a sudden they feel a whole lot better, which is absolutely fantastic.
In terms of the post-operative procedures, Dr. Oluwahare, presumably we're looking at ensuring that lifestyle is maintained, that you don't suddenly say, oh, we've got a new liver, we've sorted ourselves out, we've got the Advagraft drug that's sorting ourselves through there, so we can actually sort of just consume as much alcohol as we wish. That's not a good strategy, is it?
It's not. And I would emphasise alcohol is only one small facet of everything we're talking about. We're talking about weight gain, lack of exercise, ongoing smoking. But I think where this drug seems to have really had an impact is I think patients find it very easy to take. It's once daily, you take it first thing in the morning. And I think what it tells us is actually when we have more complicated regimens, patients don't do what we think they do, and that's probably quite common.
I'm fascinated in terms of obviously the European Liver Transplant Registry. Is that literally just an organisation that's set up where people can actually donate organs, or organs are donated, and it's a kind of central body which across Europe can actually help patients suffering from liver transplant problems?
Well, no, I wish it was, but it isn't actually. I mean, but it is an amazing organisation because it essentially collects data from every single transplant centre in Europe so that we can look and really analyse what happens to patients and how we can make a difference to keeping them alive longer. So it's an incredibly valuable resource. And this paper has shown that it can actually come up with some surprising and really important findings.
Absolutely. I think anything that obviously can increase chances of survival is certainly to be commended. It's been a fascinating insight into, as I said, one of the organs of the body that, as with most cases, we don't necessarily appreciate until it kind of begins to malfunction, and I think you addressed a number of key points there. I take it you both had a reasonably interesting and healthy telephonic link with us this morning, Richard and Dr. Varuna Oluwahare.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And a final sort of question, is there a way in which people online can find out more details about this? I mean, is it a case of simply accessing the European Liver Transplant Registry? I'm thinking of those people who want to drill down more deeply into the research and actually look at the success of the drug Advagraft.
Yeah, well, the study will be on our website very soon, so liverforlife.org.uk, and also if people would like to register for organ donation, it's organdonation.nhs.uk.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Which is important, Chloe, as I'm sure you'd attest to, you know, giant lizards.
Yeah, hide from them all the time. They're a nightmare.
A reminder after that very interesting sort of take on liver disease, liver transplants, and possible hope for people who actually have to endure a liver transplant. Oh, my word, sorry. Have you fallen off the chair there, Ian Lennox and Tyneside? I mean, I wasn't going to mention 5-0, but I have in any case. I just think obviously it was a sort of training ground for the second half against Barcelona, but you know, at least
it didn't work for you, did it?
It's only 2-1, and at least we are in the Champions League.
Only 2-1 in your away from home against probably the best team in the world, yeah.
Well, at least it's not Newcastle United.
I can just imagine you charging down the bookies as we speak. £100 on Manchester City getting through,
right? Don't start, Ian. Do not start, please. We have the fabulous team from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society in the house, so to speak. Do you think Amelia will be listening?
Yeah, she said that she would be.
Then I think we should say good morning, Amelia. Good morning, Amelia.
Good morning, Amelia.
I noticed.
Good morning, Amelia.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah. I don't like being left out of these things.
quite rightly so as well. But again, we have the fabulous Chloe Middleton, assistant marketing assistant at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, and education and communications officer extraordinaire. I don't know why I wasn't actually given the extraordinaire, actually. I mean, you clearly are, Rosie, so yeah, I don't know why. The brief we actually had, it's Rosie Crust, education and communications officer extraordinaire from the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. And of course, our two regulars, Jessica Ward. How far have you got with Ian's book, Jessica?
Not too far, I'm afraid.
Do you still have the Truth Is Out there DVD? Or is
I do, and yeah. I've watched it. I need to give it back.
I would have thought that would be nice.
Yes, I could pass it on to Jared if you would like.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And Jared Johnson, who's suffering from the postscript of the Arsenal result. But never mind, it's okay. It could have been worse. It could have been falling off a stage with one of your dancers catching up with your cloak. I did think something had gone wrong with that. I know people said, why wasn't there an intake of breath from the audience? But apparently they didn't think it was, they thought it was intentional. I don't think so.
Well, it matched with the lyrics of the song because you're singing about getting up from falling down. And I thought
so did Chumbawamba a few years ago. I thought it would be a help to actually sort of give you some notion of Ant and Dec doing the Brit Awards, and I'm sure you were proud of the two Geordie fellows who actually, in a little known fact, their first ever radio interview was with me on the set of Biker Grove back in the 80s, so you could...
Oh, really?
That. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because I used to go with an actress who acted with them in Biker Grove.
Oh, there you were. And so it goes, and yes, even before they became PJ and Duncan, those little cherubic faces when they must have been, what, 12 and 13?
Yeah.
They haven't changed, really. They're all like little Ant and Dec. I personally think they are aliens from another planet, but... Anyway, that's
side. Well, most people think Geordies are like that anyway.
So. Rosie, have you ever thought Geordies? Oh, you must be an alien.
Rosie's keeping the big mark on
quiet.
Rosie's keeping very quiet. Actually, where do you come from, Rosie? Where's Rosie's background?
I'm Lincolnshire born and bred, a yellow belly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why is it? Why are you called yellow bellies?
I'm not actually sure.
Well, that's your next research project.
Yeah, I'll go and research that.
There are actually a number of reasons in terms of why Lincolnshire folk are called yellow bellies. Sometimes it's all to do with being sunburnt, lying on their backs in the sun. Sometimes it's all to do with the military sort of yellow tunics that they actually used to wear at one stage when they marched through that, and a whole variety of reasons. So actually, Rosie's
the same with Geordies. You see, the derivation of Geordies got the number of explanations.
I thought that was within the smell of the tyne. I thought that was always my definition of a Geordie.
No, one theory. We call Geordies because they support King George.
Yeah, well, not the smell of the Tyne. Oh, surely the fog on the Tyne is all thine, the fog on the Tyne is all thine. Okay.
Right.
Never mind. Ian, would you like to ask Rosie what she does as Education and Communications Officer and how she's just come out of arranging a fantastic event for breakfast folk in Lincoln?
Right, what did you have to do that?
So basically, I invited five different local primary schools to come to the Lincolnshire Showground for the week. It's the National Campaign Farmhouse Breakfast Week. And we basically sort of had fun activities with the children so they could learn about where their breakfast foods come from, how they're produced, and then also an opportunity to meet farmers.
Oh, so, I see. So you used actual sort of experience of having a breakfast as a sort of educational tool. And
yeah, learning
all
about...
Oh, that's clever, that. Yes. Because they'd be motivated to they must be interested in it because they're having breakfast. So.
No, it was. The whole morning was eating smoothies and porridge and bacon sandwiches, but in the children actually got hands-on and made smoothies and cooked the bacon to have the bacon
Kill the
sandwich.
Pig, yeah.
Yeah.
And they get to meet yourself, Rosie, and Chloe. And
how many kids are involved in this then?
I had about 150 children over the week.
I staggered over a week, was
it? Yeah, over the week. So
what was the most you had at any one time?
I had 29 on one day.
Wow.
So it was, yeah, really.
And what
really,
ages?
They were lower key stage two, so predominantly year three, so about 7-8-year-olds.
Reasonably.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never quite worked out why for birthday celebrations we don't simply say happy birthday, dear lower key stage two person. Maybe it's all numbers. It's all very confusing.
People define things like this. Lower key stage two. Yes. Why not just call them 7-year-olds?
Yes, Rosie. Why not just call them 7-year-olds? Why are they lower key stage two people?
I don't know. I think because it's infants, key stage one, and then we get lower key stage two, upper key stage two. So I think it's just a name, I don't know why.
Well, I suppose it's all for the convenience of the educators.
And then they have years as well, so you can
have
like
a sort of a language of their own, really.
Yeah. Year six when you're actually
probably 11, locked in a room somewhere.
We don't need no education. Hi, teacher, leave those kids alone.
My eldest daughter's favourite group.
Well, Pink Floyd. I don't normally have moments where I actually start reciting song lyrics every so often, but I've been moved to do so twice today. Still, never mind. It's obviously the inspiration that Chloe brings to the show. Jessica, have you got any questions about that you might like to assist with Ian in terms of what's happening and why Ian might like to join us on Sunday the 29th of March 2015, that's this year, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Countryside Links?
Have I got any questions?
Oh, yeah.
No, well, what are you going to be showing on that date?
So my whole objective of the day was to educate and let the children learn about food and farming. So I've got 6 different indoor and outdoor zones. So we've got the countryside zone where there's fishing, a gun dog demonstration, shooting, all things like that. Then we've got the falconry displays as well. So we're going to have flying displays and then opportunity for the children to meet the different birds of prey.
We'll just get Rosie a little bit closer to the microphone. Just move that to one side from that point of view. Rich, Ian, I can tell that you're already very excited about this. Personally, I find that the actual pièce de résistance of the whole thing has to be the tractor zone, where little visitors, so that takes me out there, will be amazed at the different shapes and sizes of the machinery, including vintage and brand new tractors and combine harvesters, Rosie. Combine harvesters.
They're pretty big, aren't they, combine harvesters?
They are, they're massive, and when we take like Show Comes to Town, the children just love sitting on the tractors, don't they? It's, you know, really just the awe and wonder of how the size of them, really. So then we've also got tractor and trailer rides to take children and their families around the showground as well.
Should you not just sort of take the children away from the families and sort of put them in some sort of cage?
In a big thing.
And hold them there. Maybe not. As an Easter egg hunt as well, of course.
Yeah, we're having a trail around some of the exhibitors, so the children have got to find the answers to questions, and then at the end they come to the showground information point and will receive a Easter egg, and then also be put into a competition to win a family prize ticket for Rand Farm Park as well.
Exactly. And Rand Farm Park, Ian, in case you're wondering, no relation to Janice Rand, yeoman of the Starship Enterprise in the 23rd century, although I suppose it could be. Anyway, Chloe, anything you'd like to ask Ian about life, the universe, or would you like to sort of sell the notion that if he can't make the 29th of March 2015 for Countryside Links at the Lincolnshire Showground, maybe in 117 days, 13 hours, 52 minutes and 39 seconds now, he might like to come to something else?
Yeah, absolutely. On the 24th and 25th of June, we've got the Lincolnshire Show, which is our annual county show. Things are already in full swing, it might be February just.
That's a pretty big show, isn't it? Because you're pretty keen on agriculture down there, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as Alex said, we work for the Agricultural Society, so
it's an eclectic mix of breathtaking entertainment, food, shopping, music, horticulture and farm life, Ian.
Right. What brochure are you reading up there, Alex?
What more could you want in one place? What more?
The 24th and 25th of June 2015, you can relax on the members' lawn with a glass of bubbly or a yummy picnic whilst watching the Kangaroo Kid perform astounding stunts, or wander into the countryside area to see falconry, bees and reptiles. Giant lizards, you should be careful. And then hop aboard the Land train to visit the fragrant floral displays and mini gardens created especially for the show. There we have it. Jessica, will you be there?
Oh, I'd love to go. That sounds amazing. I love agriculture shows.
Well, I think it's time you actually sort of scheduled to get back from the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that and sort out various other bits and pieces. I know that Jared will be saying, but what about the Nottinghamshire County show, which happens? It's all right, Jared. We'll talk to Adrian Johnston in the fullness of time, but you know, it's not quite as big as the Lincolnshire show, is it,
Mary? Not quite. We don't like to brag.
Best not, because then the Great Yorkshire Show people come on board and you don't know what's going to happen.
Be all right on your hands then, Alex.
It's just amazing. Ian, any final questions you got for the team before we sort of ask you those last two interrogatives?
No, I don't think I have, actually. I used to film a lot of those sort of shows. The Sunday Night Show was one, I remember. And I used to do a series with a world champion boxer called Glenn McCrory from up here. And he was about 6'4", and I had a reporter who was about 5'2". And they used to do all these stunts together, and one of which was Glenn riding his bike through a firewall, apparently, with the reporter on his back, on the back of the bike. And I think he fell off or something. Yeah? But I'm not sure. I can't remember that. But anyway, it was quite hair-raising at times, some of the things they did.
It's something I've considered actually introducing to the Midweek Drive training routine, but it hasn't quite developed as yet. So never mind. I know you're keen to actually listen to Danny Griego, which is Cameron Tilbury's choice of music. That'll take us up to the news, though, Ian. So, last two questions. Jared, go on. Bowl them at Ian Lennox, please.
Have you enjoyed our telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have.
And will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so, when Man City win.
She'll choose to ignore that particular line, Ian, because it was actually City 5, Newcastle United 0.
Is that all?
Coast is clear.
Afternoon low tide, working my plan. Got one hand in the water, the other in the sand. Two beers in a cooler.
Thank you. Okay, coming up, we'll be talking to Matt Turnbull all about triathlons in Hartlepool. Why Lincoln should possibly be getting involved with triathlons as well. After award-winning director Graham Harper will be with us. The weather, highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 1 degree centigrade today. Cloudy and a mild morning with possible outbreaks of rain, but becoming drier in the afternoon with sunny spells. So good to stay in the office then, Chloe, I would have thought, really.
Yeah, well, don't know, quite like a little bit of a puddle jump on the afternoon if it's a bit of a rainy day around the showground.
Does Amelia and Jane, do they ever actually take you out on a walk, a kind of promenade, and say, come on, girls, we're going to go out on a little run now, we're going to team build, we're going to have laser quests.
You see that, Amelia does actually, she rallies around, come on, we're going for a walk, so she's the motivation.
In that sort of line, yeah, exactly, it's phenomenal. Anyway, and... as you're now approaching your half-year anniversary, Rosie, any regrets about leaving those key stage folk behind?
No, I think because I'm getting them out onto the showground, I've got the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Where I am, so I'm still working with children, but then also, you know, doing other events. So best of both worlds.
Exactly. Do they like Disney, by the way?
Pardon?
Your children, do they like Disney? Children come along, do they like Disney? Because I'm dedicating this to them.
Samuel Lee Wallace,
Under the Sea.
Who doesn't like Disney?
Who doesn't like Disney? Exactly. It's phenomenal.
You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea. What do they got? A lot of sand. We got a hot crustacean band. Each little clam here, no heart of jam here. Under the sea. Each little slug here, cutting a rug here. Under the sea. Each little snail here, no heart or whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we in luck here, down in the muck here, under the sea.
Sport, health and well-being, absolutely essential. And if we talk about the Bunny Hop Easter Trail Run, the Jackson's Dock Summer Aquathon series, you can possibly sort of start thinking, could that be Trigma Endurance Sports and Events? Could that be something to do with the fantastic soloist Matt Turnbull? Matt, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, very well.
Now, this is a wonderful sort of package that we've actually put together here because together with your colleague Gary Wilson, you've put together this notion of Trigma Endurance Sports and Events because you're determined for Hartlepool, unlike the football team, not to fall behind the rest of the country. Sorry, Hartlepool football team. I couldn't resist it. It was, but never mind. Perhaps if their players get involved with it, they might still survive. Talk to us though, Matt. What is this fabulous Trigma Endurance Sports and Events package that you're setting up?
Well, Gary and myself are both GB triathletes, and we come from an area of the northeast that seems to be a little bit backwards and coming forwards as regards multisport. We've raced all over the region, all over the country, and there's not a lot going on in our area, which sort of upsets us slightly. So we've decided to change that with starting to develop our own races, our own multisport races, using Hartlepool's marina, Jackson's Dock, as our sort of home base, which is a fantastic multi-sports area where they do all sorts of open water and sort of family-orientated events, but nothing really that is that can be considered a multi-sport activity other than the Big Lime Triathlon, which is led by Hartlepool Council. So we've come along, and at a very grassroots level, we're looking at using that facility for open water swim practice, for coaching those people who are a bit frightened of the water. Gary and myself are both level two coaches, as well as putting on what are called aquathons, which is a swim run format of multi-sport, and we're doing it at a very, very grassroots level, which is as cheaply as possible to allow access to as many people as possible, with the main focus being on experience and support from established coaches, as Gary and myself are.
We've been fortunate enough to actually be at the Hartlepool Marina a few years ago. Actually, it's far too long since we were last there. I think it was for the Tall Ships race, so that's a wee while ago. But it is a sensational area, as you rightly said. And this particular aspect, going for that family-oriented event, Easter Saturday, the 4th of April, that bunny hop. I mean, it does sound as though, again, it's an ideal way of ensuring that people can not only be fit, be healthy, but also have fun as well.
Well, that's essentially what it was all about. You're quite right. The bunny hop is an Easter trail run on Easter Saturday morning, and we have a choice of two races. We've got a 5 kilometre and a 10 kilometre over, we'll call it undulating land, but it's in a beautiful country park called Summerhill in Hartlepool. And it really is about getting the family down there. We've got Easter egg hunt for the youngsters. We've hidden hundreds of small Easter eggs for the family to go and search for, while those who are mad enough are going to go and run a 5 or a 10K cross-country in aid of Miles for Men. So if you know much about Miles for Men, it's a Hartlepool-based male cancer charity. So this was us doubling up, as you say. It's about getting people fit. It's about getting them active. We have coaches and personal trainers who are going to come along and support us with information and give lots of advice to new people who want to come along. And all the proceeds are going to go to this very, very worthy charity.
Indeed. So a donation for the registration fees will obviously be passed on to Miles for Men. Athletes are also asked to bring a spare tin or some non-perishable food item. That's got to be a first, really, in terms of register.
Yeah.
Most people have a pasta party before the actual marathon. They don't actually bring the pasta along with them.
Well, this was my idea. It may be a slightly harebrained scheme, but it would take nothing for each athlete to just put the hand in their cupboard as they leave the house, a tin of beans, a packet of pasta, and bring it down with them. And we will have a shopping trolley there to fill up, and then we will take it down to the Hartlepool Food Bank. And it's such a simple idea. It's such a throwaway idea that you wouldn't even think of it, but it will make a massive deal. We have 100 athletes, and they bring down 100 tins. That's a meal, every night of the week for many weeks for someone who can't afford it. And it's absolute throwaway gesture, but it would mean a lot to other people.
Every so often we hear about the Olympic legacy, obviously, of 2012. And I'm thinking that possibly those brothers from Yorkshire might have done something to actually promote and increase the popularity of triathlon and multisport. I mean, amazingly, the fastest growing participation sport of a generation. People seem to be really getting into this whole system.
Well, it is, and at this very moment in Hartlepool, in Christchurch, they have an exhibition that sort of backs that up. It's kind of an Olympic legacy exhibition of local athletes. There was an artist called Michelle Castles, and she's created full-size athlete sculptures of local athletes, myself included, to try and draw awareness of multi-sport, grassroots sport, get youngsters, especially sort of disaffected young males, into multi-sport and sport in the local area. And I went down to see it the other day, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I suppose that's the key. It's people like myself, more grassroots, more local, that are going to try and make a difference in their own area. I've met the Brownlee brothers. They do fantastic work for the sport. They're great ambassadors, but they're another level. These guys are another level. It's Gary and myself, the local athletes, and there's a lot of us that are going out there day in, day out, trying to make a difference, trying to bring the fitness, the health, the whole culture of multisport to our local area.
In the studio this morning, we'll probably have Chloe Middleton, who, when she's not actually sorting out things for the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, or even Middleton, she'll be addressing a whole range of wonderful sort of facts. I'm just thinking, as the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society is hosting their Countryside Links the week beforehand on Palm Sunday, this would be an ideal way to obviously sort of get everybody up from Lincoln to participate in this Easter Saturday event. Of course, people listening to this via podcast from all over the country, clearly this is an ideal thing. When's the deadline? How do people actually get in touch with you? How do they start registering, Matt?
Well, we have. We've set up a facility as easy as possible. It's a very simple online facility through our website, and that is
Would that be www.trigma-events.com, then?
That is exactly
right.
There
you go.
And it's a one-click registration facility, but we are opening it up to a wider sort of like client base by saying you can come down, especially for the charity event, the Bunny Hop. You come down in the morning if you like to pay hard cash, we will take your hard cash. So that's absolutely fine. We've got it on the website. If you turn up before a particular point, we would be happy to register you on the morning.
Sounds absolutely splendid. And clearly you've got the Bunny Hop. I'm just sort of thinking in terms of those of us who are more chronologically gifted. In fact, I'm looking at Trigma Endurance Sports and Events as it spans at present. I mean, there are those of us who might sort of think, no, I don't fancy giving myself a coroner at this stage. You have actually said that obviously you're fully trained, and obviously we've got a whole range of factors in that. As you say, A1 Multisport will be in attendance at all Trigma-organised open water training sessions. So it is presumably safe.
Yes, it absolutely is. You know, this is, you know, without a doubt, it's paramount to us at the very beginning that we can be credible, we can be safe, we can make sure the athletes getting in feel safe. And that is a lot of why people avoid multi-sport. It is that fear of the unknown and that, ooh, God, am I going to fall off the bike? Ooh, am I going to be okay in the water? So what we can absolutely guarantee is that, you know, things like water is tested, that we have accreditation to prove that the water is safe. There are no creepy, you know, sea animals in that area.
Or sharks.
No, it's not at all.
Unlikely in Hartlepool, but you never know.
You never know. You may find a basking shark out on the northeast coast, but not in the actual marina, which is, it's landlocked. It's locked, so, yeah, you know, nothing gets in, really. But then on top of that, there's Gary and myself and another range of colleagues that are qualified in various different areas. Myself as a level 2 coach and an emergency first aider. We have links with the RNLI who are supporting us with water safety measures as well. So those sort of fears we can allay quite early on, that you put those to the side, you'll be guaranteed a great experience in a very safe environment.
You know, I can also see a situation where possibly those wonderful Team Watt Cycle people and Manila PR folk will actually be getting involved with this, but maybe that's for another adventure. We put the challenge out there. I won't even start talking about the Turkey Trails Christmas Trail Run of 2015, but that's something completely different, which will be obviously talked about as we head through. Matt, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self today, getting a general flavour of what you're doing for this fabulous event at the Jackson's Docks and our other Bunny Hop Easter Trail Run. Obviously, there is, as you mentioned, the Summer Aquathlon series as well that's taking place there. A reminder, the web address is the usual 3 W's, trigma-events.com. I've just reached it now. It's very simple, well designed, and all sorts of other things there. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the show today, Matt Turnbull?
I certainly have, and I'm looking forward to our next meeting straight away.
And hopefully we will come along and actually see you in person. I mean, I can sense a few of our trainees could actually benefit from doing a biathlon, if not a triathlon. But we'll baby steps. We'll make haste slowly. Take care now.
Get them down and we'll look after them.
So there we have it, Chloe. You were mentioned in that interview as somebody who'd be up for doing a triathlon. Presumably that's all systems go for you, I could say. And I can get in touch with Matt Turnbull and say, yep, Chloe's your girl. She's coming up from Leicester to Hartlepool and she'll be sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been training really hard.
Well, you know, take you through it. And the Hartlepool Marina is a sensational place. You know, it's the sort of place that actually, Jessica, netball could actually benefit from, because we didn't celebrate the fact that last week you won, and of course this week you played well, but we didn't. Who did you play this week?
Aston. Darren, such an amazing
In
team.
Birmingham?
Yes.
Well, there we are, but you let the university down again.
Hey! We tried. That's all that matters. We tried our best. Okay. And actually, the girls, they played so well. Our team played really good.
Jared, of course, is going to be stepping into a school-based environment in the latter part of the day. What will you be doing in that school-based environment, Jared Johnson?
I'll be talking to secondary school children about university life and journalism trying to inspire them.
As the next range of wonderful undergraduates who will actually be passing through the portals of the University of Lincoln for a mere £9,000 per head. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, life continues. Very briefly, as we haven't been able to connect with Graham Harper, we could try a little live number, but I don't think we will actually. We've tried it 3 or 4 times. Something else has cropped up. Probably he's actually started pre-production on the Disney series Evermore. Rosie Crust, which sounds so wonderful. It really should be MC Rosie Crust and and her wonderful rural chapettes. That would be the number I'd go through. We have, of course, mentioned Sally Monday, in case Sally was wondering. Had I forgotten her yet again? Of course not, Sally. You know, she's a regular sort of thing. And Chloe will attest to that. I couldn't remember who the heck she was when she came in a few months ago. But still. Yeah. Bless her heart. Sally doing wonderful stuff there. And will you be there, Rosie, at Countryside Links on Sunday the 29th of March?
Will I be there? Oh. Absolutely.
That's all right, then.
I'll be there all weekend before.
Exactly.
And, yeah, come along.
You're there,
fantastic
we'll
day.
Be there, and yeah. You should be there, dear listener. But, importantly, people are saying, well, you've talked about Countryside Links and all the exciting things that are there. We've talked about the Easter Egg Hunt. We've talked about exploring it. The wonderful line about stay safe, even though most of the zones are indoors. Remember to wrap up warm and put your wellies on for an adventure at the showground. Very important. Because of the swamps, obviously, and the giant lizards. Now, how can people get in touch or get tickets? Which I thought there was a misprint here, because on the gate tickets for a family of two adults and up to two children, £18. Adults, £7. Children, 5 to 16. So in the kind of range that you'll be speaking to, actually, Jared, you can actually say, look, you know, £4. Under 5's free. Amazing. How can people actually get tickets and find out more about Countryside Links? Rosie?
So if you go onto the Lincolnshire Showground website, onto the events page, Countryside Links is on there. We are selling advance tickets online. Advance tickets are family £16, adult £6, a child 5 to 16 is £3.50, under 5s are free and parking's free. And we also have three ticket outlets, so Uncle Henry's Farm Park, Rand Farm Park, and then Ruddocks of Lincoln. So they're all ticket outlets as well. So,
generally wonderful. Chloe, have you enjoyed your return? Because I think, was it 3 years ago you started with these shows? Or was it 2 years? Two or three years
this
ago?
This will be my third show, but third? I'm like 2 years at the showground about now.
Just your third show, actually?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd done a few more. Oh, so I had to put anyway,
I'm just
you?
A dab and Alex.
Oh, clearly. Have you enjoyed the whole sort of experience, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And clearly, you know, Amelia will, and Jane will say she's done us proud. We need to increase her salary by at least 42%.
Wow, hopefully. Yeah. I think that might be known as wishful thinking. But
it's important. And having had the excruciating experience of being up the hill with our colleagues from the British Biscuit Corporation a few weeks ago, sorry, no, that's the start of the week, how have you found your first experience on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren 107.3 FM, Rosie?
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for inviting me, Alex. It's been really good, and hopefully we'll be on again.
I would sincerely hope so. What do you think, Jessica? Have they passed the test?
Yes, it's been wonderful.
I think,
back in a heartbeat.
I would agree. They have been, quote, wonderful. You know, Jessica Ward has sorted our way through it. So brilliant stuff. Rosie, musical choice. You first debut show, you get a chance to actually see if we've got your musical choice in the system.
On the spot now.
Oh, yeah. I think the pressure. What would you like? Ed Sheeran song.
Obviously of his. I was surprised actually George Ezra didn't actually secure anything at the Brits. I must admit, I thought he was going to sort of take, because Ed's had so much award, but clearly hasn't. So which Ed Sheeran song are you looking for in particular then?
Oh, what do you think, Chloe? I don't mind.
Shall I run through things? We've got the A-Team, You Need Me, I Don't Need You, we can't use that, Lego House, Drunk, Hush Little Baby, Small Bump, Give Me Love, Everything Has Changed, I See Fire, Sing, Don't, Thinking Out Loud.
Should we do Thinking Out Loud?
Yeah, Thinking Out Loud.
Have a bit of a smoochy song to start
with. A what song?
smoochy
song.
A bit of a smoochy song.
Here we are.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek?